or praise, allow, although it's the noun, tehillah, praise is calmly. Now, calmly. You have to go in Old English to become, and you find that that word calmly comes from a root. Well, let me get it and read it to you. Calmly. Best translation, be beautiful. Calmly. You see what calmly? Old English had an adjective, simlik, beautiful. No relation at all to come. But this seems to have died out around the year 1000. It's likely that comely, which first appears in the early 13th century, represents a reduced version of becomely, an adjective long since defunct, of which there are a few records toward the end of the 12th century. This meant suitable, that's becoming of you. Formed, of course, from the verb become, an early meaning of comely, and its other semantic strand, beautiful, is probably a memory of Old English simlik. Well, that's what the translators of the King James back in the 16th century decided would fit the Hebrew word, or the Hebrew word for comely. Nawa. Nawa or Nava, depending upon the German or the more pure Hebrew sense, what befits. What befits in the sense that it befits you, it makes you look much more beautiful. How do I look, honey? I don't ever ask her that anymore. Yeah, I do once in a while, don't I? But she always says I look good, and I know that I don't. But God gave her a set of eyes, oh, praise be to God, that blesses me all the time. Don't you like to have somebody tell you that they don't say now in modern English, that's befitting. Wow! Drop dead! Not mean drop dead, you look drop dead beautiful. You like to hear that? How many are going to lie and keep your hands down? Tell me a 92-year-old woman doesn't like to be told, you're just beautiful. You look 20 years younger than you are. This is what I call proper Christian praise. Exaggerated. Plain, downright lying for the joy of the recipient. Tell me you don't like it. Well, I'm going to be honest. Your eyes look like that they're fallen into a cavity of wrinkles underneath. Your teeth look like a shoveled out fireplace. Your nose is like a garden hose. You love that? That really befits you. For the upright, that word's full of meaning. Manageable, capable of being straightened out, smooth, wrinkles taken off, what the Hebrew word means. Cry, a ringing cry at the Lord, O ye Tzedekah, for praise befits the manageable. Again, praise the Lord. Now, notice they got praise in that first verse, and they got praise in the second verse. Except praise in the first verse is from halal, and praise in the second verse is from yada. So put a line with the praise in the first verse, and write halal, which is extemporaneous pouring forth of joyous praise, and verse 2, praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with psaltery, and an instrument of 10 strings. In other words, extend the hands in reverence and worship, and my reach can't say it all, so use these hands. It's the first time in the Psalms. musical instruments are added in the command of praise. Extend the hands. Cry aloud. That's why I'm telling you, sing this song. Joy comes in the morning. I've had the Holy Spirit, I'm sure, tell me, in delivering you from extremes you should be delivered from in the judgmental, legalistic world frame of the church, and spending these 29 years to bring forth faith, time for you faithers to add worship and praise. As I've said now, the third Sunday, I was commissioned to rewrite the purposes of the Assemblies of God as the research director of the Committee on Advance. I had been preaching across the country from Ezekiel 44. The sons of Zadok, when everyone else failed, God called them and said, they shall minister unto me. The church has a ministry to the world, and it has a ministry to itself, for which God has given pastors, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, those gift, domitile ministries to perfect the saints. But the church exists to minister to the Lord. That's why the Psalms strike some spark. God planted in us, deep calleth unto deep, as I took from the Psalms last Sunday. And I want to release the meaning of these praise words until it becomes behavior. The first verse, rejoice, rag on. I can even pun that. Rag on, folks. Cry aloud. Praise in the first verse, halal, bursting forth with praise. I saw someone in the back when my wife started to sing, let's all go down to the river. I thought they were going to start swimming in the air. They were still high on Joy Comes in the Morning and were rejoicing with her as she sang. For halal is befitting the upright that are under God's control and under His vision, manageable. Praise the Lord, yada. Extend the hands with harp. Sing unto Him with psaltery. An instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. You know, they couldn't really do that when David wrote it. In the book of Revelation, the redeemed will sing a new song. But the angels couldn't sing. Romans 21 to 26. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Prophetically, this song couldn't do what we can do. Sing a new song. The whole chapter then heralds His creative power and heralds His magnificent grace and becomes a contrast, as you read the rest of it on your own later, to what Paul condemns when he opens the passage in Romans 1:18, the wrath of God. At the same time the gospel was uncovered, the wrath of God is turned loose on Asabian and Adike, those two words against, opposite of, consciousness of God because of His creation, and against His righteousness. This chapter is full of the opposite. Singing praise to God as you look around at the earth He created for us and the magnificence of His grace. But then you get to the 34th Psalm. Now, critics of the Bible have said, here's an error. A Psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Ahimelech. You see that? The head of your chapter? Is that what you got? Ahimelech. That's in 1 Samuel 21. When he changed his behavior before Ahimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. Then you go to 1 Samuel 21. And he changed his behavior in front of Achish.
Oh!
An error in the Bible. No. Ahimelech was like Pharaoh. A titular name. Achish was his particular name. So much for the critics. And what's the circumstance of 1 Samuel 21? Previous chapter, he and Jonathan have bonded. The son of Saul recognizes that David is the anointed king. Saul's going to kill him. He's going to go back and get a report, and David is to come to a particular place. And they will have a code. Jonathan will come with his servant. And if David must flee for his life, he will shoot arrows. In either case, he'll shoot arrows. But as his servant runs to get the arrow and bring it back, if he says, no, no, go further, the arrow, another arrow is further off. That's the clue that David had better flee for his life, because Saul's going to kill him. Now, I'm going to try verbally and quickly to draw this picture. I don't believe anybody in this church or anybody with a hunger for God is not called. At least chosen. Because Jesus says, no man cometh to the Father save the Spirit drawing. Some of you, God has decided to lay a charge on you beyond the baby food that started you. David was very happy tending the sheep, perfecting his sling, killing the bear, killing the lion. He wasn't even present when Samuel came to anoint a new king. Samuel anointed him. His life is forever changed. He's now an object of God's specific purpose for him. He goes to take food to his brethren and hears Saul, or hears Goliath boasting on the hillside. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He had the courage to go after him with just the sling and the power of the Lord. Became a hero overnight. Saul hath killed his thousands, David his 10,000, tens of thousands, the lady saying. Man, he was hot dog. They cried aloud to him. But then everything turned bad. Now, whatever price you have paid, and whatever circumstance you're facing today, as you've tried to serve God and follow His call, it's nothing compared to the writer of this psalm in this circumstance. He had no food. He had no place to hide. He had no weapons. And the power of Saul and his armies are after him. He flees to the place where the tabernacle, temple, hadn't yet been built. And goes to the high priest there and begs for food. And he says he's on a mission that's not quite true. This, I sort of love the humanness of this. He doesn't really tell the truth to the priest. And there's no bread here but the sacred bread. And he tells a story that it can be partaken, he and his young men, because they meet a certain criteria. And to those that criticize David for this behavior of eating the sacred bread, when they're going to criticize Jesus in the New Testament for healing on the Sabbath, he refutes their criticism by referring to David going past the letter of the law because of the need. So if you're going to criticize David, you better read what Jesus said about it in the Gospels. But then he asked for a weapon, and the priest says, there isn't anything here but the sword of Goliath, which he took from Goliath himself. And he says, that'll do. And he takes it. He goes then to Gath, Now remember, Goliath was of Gath. Goliath was the giant that he slew. And he goes into this very area where the king of Gath, title Amalek, name Achish, and he's afraid. Wouldn't you be? Here's the man that they sang, he killed his tens of thousands. Here's a man right here in your kingdom, hiding out here from Saul. They killed Goliath. And David feigned, another lie, feigned the madman. Well, now that ain't much faith in God. That ain't much trust. He play-acts a crazy man, dribbling spittle down his beard, acting crazy. And Achish says, you brought him to me, this crazy madman, as if I don't have enough crazy people already in my kingdom. You're going to give me this one? And David fled. Achish let him go. The act worked. And he came to the opening of the 22nd chapter, to the cave of Adullam. Even his family wasn't there yet. Alone in the cave of Adullam. It's a prophetic message. I've preached it, of Christ anointed but not yet crowned. God's king, forever settled in heaven, but not yet crowned. Nothing, as I read last week on Festival from Tozer. God doesn't really come and announce and tell us, I'm going to test you now. Here is innocent David, anointed by the prophet who disturbs his life. In this cave now, after the six series of sequences just named, alone in Adullam, it's not yet that his family will come down, not yet that they're gathered unto him, everybody that was in distress, and everybody that was in debt, and everybody that was discontented, and he became a captain over them. He's alone in the cave. That's where the scholars say he wrote this song. In that circumstance, every circumstance saying God was a liar, that the worst thing that ever happened to him was the call of God, that God is doing nothing for him, and his own wits have gotten him at least free from Achish with a sword and a little bit of food that he's already eaten by now, hiding in a cave. And he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless. Baraka is the word in the Hebrew, so follow these words and write them in your margin. I will, instead of complaining about my lot in this cave of Adullam, instead of reminding God of how could you let this happen to me, instead of boasting in the prices that he paid as a happy shepherd who's now in this darkness of Adullam, he says, not make me, Lord, I will. I think I'll read on Festival today Tozer's comments on the will as part of righteousness. Not will worship that is condemned in Colossians, but like the faith teaching I did that David also expressed, what time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. In the cave of Adullam, if you don't see that, this psalm isn't going to reach to you. I will adore Raka on bended knee, the Lord at all times. His praise, halal. His praise, halal. Two of these words in that one sentence. I will rock up a door on bended knee. His praise aloud. Shall continually be in my mouth. My soul, nephesh, the life of the creature, the nephesh, is in the blood. This creature shall make her boast. Halal is repeated in the Lord, same use of that preposition that to focus in the accusative case on who the object is, make the boast of the Lord. The humble. I wrote some notes as I tore this verse apart. The humble. That's rather interesting. The humble. The afflicted is the word. I wanted to make sure I will bless Barak, Yahweh, at all times, continually his praise, halal, in my mouth. And Yahweh, my nephesh, makes its boast, halal. Hear me do this, which we are doing today, as I lift it out of the Adullam cave. See him do this in that cave alone. Here it is recorded that you and I might hear. Hear. The afflicted. Hear the afflicted. And know him. Hear the afflicted. And be glad. Or be made happy. Shama or Sama. I want that to settle in. It doesn't make its impact unless you're with David in the route I just cataloged. Flesh and blood on him. He didn't ask to be anointed. He went to deliver victuals, as they say in Missouri, to his brothers. The big mouth Goliath was sounding off and everybody else was hiding under the trees, and he went in the strength of the Lord and killed Goliath. He offered nothing but respect for Saul and is driven by that jealous fool that God had taken the spirit that God had put in him out and had cut him off from the voice of his word through Samuel. He had done nothing but good. Oh, you may say, well, he misled the priest, sure. Apparently Jesus forgave him. He barely escaped with his life, and now he's anointed king sitting in this cave. Boy, this is one of the Psalms where he starts out right. Sometimes I've taught on David. It took him a long time to get to this point, but this one, he's already there, which is why I think he wrote the previous psalm that got him ready. Finally, he says, I will bless Barak, the Lord, the door on bended knees. His halal shall be continually in my mouth. My nephew shall make her boast, halal, in the Lord. And the afflicted shall hear thereof and be glad. That'll make you happy. This is possible to do this. I sought the Lord early first, he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Tozer uses this as a text for a message, and he says, doesn't mean you make God greater. It means like a magnifying glass, you see him greater. He's as great as he is. But here I am in this cave. God doesn't seemingly have any awareness of me, and he isn't doing anything for me. But I will, on bended knee, adore him. I will pour forth my hallelujah. I will magnify, and I want you to magnify him with me. Exalt him, his name together. It's
what we did in the series on praise in Psalm 18, as we learned to exalt His name and claim the promise. And listen to why. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. You ever done that? The word being translated fears is dreads. Some of you can't hardly wait to get out of this service because you got some dread you got to face. He'll deliver you. How much praising of Him in your circumstance you've been doing? This poor man cried and the Lord heard him. Saved him out of all his troubles. What a song. If you can believe it, I could preach this song for the next 10 years. I'm going to finish it today. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. He's in a cave. And he's praising God and putting some of these in the past tense. He's claiming it. Why can't you? What a ridiculous rhetorical question. You can. You can. They're in your heart right now as soon as you get home. Well, okay, I won't get out of this cave in one day. No, He's going to send you a bunch of scabby, ratty problem children. I mean, you know, I can see David sitting there after he prayed this prayer, and here come the Adullamites. I mean, first come his relatives who got him a lot of trouble. Here come the relatives. That's always a pain in the gazoo. They didn't have any faith. His brother tried to restrain him. What are you doing? You think you can go take on Goliath? Because they were guilty because they weren't. You know, people that don't want to go wholehearted for God, they love to sit back and criticize those who do. What a deliverance! I sought the Lord, this poor man sought the Lord, and He delivered me out of all my troubles. And here come the relatives. I sought the Lord, He delivered me out of all my troubles. So here comes everybody that's discontented, everybody that's in debt, and everybody that's in trouble. He delivered me out of all my troubles. Here comes troubled discontent man, troubled debt man, one after another. Everybody that was in distress, everybody that was discontented, everybody that was in debt. Now let's see if you mean that prayer, David. I sought the Lord. And He delivered, He heard me, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, say, am I born you? And delivered me from all my fears, and saved him from all his troubles, and the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them, that fear Him and delivereth them. Well, He sure keeps a loose security gate. The angel of the Lord, round about them that fear Him and delivers them. And here comes distress. 400 of them. 400 in distress, discontented, and in debt. Angel of the Lord that encampeth round about me, did you examine these people before you let them in? I'm in trouble and I'm claiming deliverance and you send me 400 of them. In debt? You're already there, aren't you? It ain't complicated. Paul says, we look not on things which are seen, but on things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Things which are unseen are eternal. The Christian lives aware of an invisible presence that is the true reality, of which everything else is temporary. God doesn't warn us when He tests us. God didn't say, send me 400 debtors, discontents, and distressed ones. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear Him and deliver them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, if you can hold your nose from the smell of these 400. Blessed is the man. Now there they're using blessed again, and it's not Barak, it's the word for happy. Asheri. Happy is the man that trusteth, hasa, taketh refuge in him. I'm in this cave, but I'm in Christ. I've responded to his call, and all hell's landed on me. But I'm in Christ. I can do all things through him that strengtheneth me. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, that's committed ones, for there's no want to them that fear him. Let's go on. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. 400 of them just arrived. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Why can't God do things my way? Deliver me without the afflictions. Just tell me about the afflictions he delivered me from and spared me from enduring. And that's the way a smart God would do it. How many of you have no afflictions? Never had an affliction? Let me see your hand. I came to God and afflictions maximized. Somebody say that. I've been told, well, didn't I tell you that? All the rest of the preachers will tell you, come to God, everything gets rosy. How many times have I told you these 30 years, come to God and all hell breaks loose on you? You've been delivered from a prison cell and the control of Satan. When does a prison launch everything to capture the escapee? When he escapes. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you're supposed to learn to trust me. And I will bless the Lord at all times. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I will bless him in afflictions. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Whenever he does, it's fine, but I'm blessing him before he does it. And this becomes a messianic psalm, quoted in the New Testament. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Every single crucified one. Standard Roman execution process. You break the legs before you take them down to make sure. As he hangs there, death is complete. Consider the possibilities through the centuries that the one exception in the history of the Roman Empire to just show God's hand and control over history. And in the midst of this song, lest you're saying, well, that sounds good, but I can't believe he can take me through this. For centuries, it rolled on. And that terrible night when our Lord cried, it is finished. One exception fulfilled this verse. They didn't break his legs. God could control those ungodly Roman executioners just to show, when I say it, I get it done. He's the Amen God. He is faithful to his word. That leaps out to me. Then, if he can do that for Jesus thousands of years later, or hundreds of years later, then when I seek the Lord, he hears me and delivers me. The angel of the Lord campeth round about. Happy is the man that trusteth in him. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The Lord, verse 22, redeemeth the soul or nephesh of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Then why not come to that state that David was, I will bow in humble adoration before him at all times. I will pour out my voice and praise to Him. But cry aloud. With extended hands, I worship and revere. I cry aloud with joy in the knowledge He did say, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He truly is our everything. And that's my message today. It's offering time, but after you have expressed your love of Him and worship in your offering, I want us to close the service again with all of us singing that outpouring of halal. I don't care if you do it with extended hands. I don't care if you do it on your knees. I don't care if you're standing or sitting. He is my everything. In reverence and worship, let's lift that praise to Him today. If you can sing it from your heart, whatever your circumstance is, can't be as bad as David. The Lord delivered him. The man after God's own heart, he came to be known. And from Adullam, he went on to great, great victories. It's offering time. After you've given, join us as we sing. He is my everything.